everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Telemarketer call.
Yes. Hitler.
Hitler.
How you doing? I'm just kidding. That's pray for me. All right. I'm so thankful we get to continue our Men of the Word series. Over these past few weeks, we've gone through our Women of the Word. We continue to end our Men of the Word. Alex Hanvey spoke about Jeremiah last week, the prophet Jeremiah. And today, we're going to talk about hesitations. No,
that's a good book.
No, today I'm so thankful because today we're going to continue this Men of the Word series. So I want us to start kind of where we've started all the way through, if you don't mind. Let somebody know. God knows your name. Only a few people can. You said that. Come on. Y'all said that to the children in the parking lot this morning when they weren't behaving. You know that. Come on. God knows your heart. And God knows your purpose. All right, I know everybody's, I'm about to have us do some calisthenics like we did back in the day, you know, we SAT word apparently. So, all the way for everybody, what I want us to do, how many of us have ever felt like they have been an outcast? Right? Everyone, how many of us have ever felt divided, like we are divided? Right? Like, I mean, let's think about this, honestly, and the world that we live in, you know, we're about to step back into this. We have determined whether we love someone by what they put in a ballot box. Isn't that crazy? Not too long ago, it was whether you wore a face mask or not, whether you got a shot or not, whether you stayed at home or didn't, whether you did this or did that. And so many times, we do everything we can to exclude others. And if we're not careful, that bleeds over into our walk with Christ. And so if you've ever felt divided, if you've ever felt like you're an outcast, you've ever felt like you don't matter, if you've ever felt that you have been forgotten, I've got good news for you. Because there's a man in the Bible that we're going to learn about today that knows exactly how you felt. And his name is our man of the word today, and his name is Cornelius. Cornelius. Now, you may have never heard of Cornelius before. Maybe you have heard of Cornelius, but we're going to learn about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. So if you've got your Bible today, let's go ahead and get to the book of Acts chapter 10. You saw me rolling through mine just a little bit earlier, so that way I could get ahead to get there. If you don't have a Bible, we say it all the time. We mean it, and it's important for us. You have a free Bible right over there in the garden. You go write your name on it. You go take notes in it. You do everything you can to follow along with us and bring that Bible with you again next week. As always, we do things digitally, as Jeremy just mentioned, in our app. Go to thevine.tv/app, and it's free. Only thing we need is the last four of your social, your grandmother's maiden name, your first pet's name, your favorite school teacher, where you went to elementary school, and I think maybe there's one or two more. What else could we need? Your favorite pet's name, first pet's name, just a few things like that. Yeah, hometown, and your previous address. We need two so we can verify. Obviously, I'm joking, but make sure you do that. You can follow along with us today for free in our Vine Church app. But as always, our Vine production team, I'm so thankful for. They're going to make sure wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, it's what church? On the screen. You already know this. That's what I'm going to say. So it's good to go. If you're with me, give me an amen. All right, so as we get in there, we're going to be in the book of Acts chapter 10. We're going to go through Acts chapter 10 and kind of go through a couple of different verses, if you will, as we're walking through there. But just so we understand what's happening here, we're going to see Peter, the disciple Peter, Simon Peter, interact with Cornelius. And what we have to understand is Peter is a Jew, Cornelius is a Gentile. And the gap, the gulf between Jews and Gentiles were so great, like you wouldn't even want to be seen with a Gentile. The only way to bridge that gap before Jesus was through conversion. Men had to go through conversion and circumcision and confirmation, and that would kind of make you a part of the family of Jews, but you actually had to start in a different court. You had to be further away from the altar as you were going through that. So, in other words, they still did not commingle. They still did not get together, Jews and Gentiles. There was no way that they could even be in the same room together until Jesus. And so we see Cornelius. We're going to meet him. He looks like a devout man, but he's going to find out there's just something missing, even though he's going through the motions that the Jewish people have taught him to be a good person. So if you've got your Bible, let's get to Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 6 is where we're going to start. And it says this. At Caesarea, little Caesars, Tough crowd. Somebody's listening. Come on. There was a man named Cornelius. He was a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. Look at this. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. So really quick, before we go on, look at this. So Cornelius, somewhere along the way, has heard about the way to follow God. But remember, he's a Gentile. To Jews, Gentiles, they hung out with the wrong people. They dressed the wrong way. As a matter of fact, let's even look at Cornelius. He's a Roman soldier. Like, do you think the soldiers got along with Jewish people at that moment in time? They saw him as an oppressor. He was one that was not justified to be loved. He was actually trying to harm them. For goodness sakes, he swears allegiance to Caesar. So how in the world could he be a devout man of God? But even working through trying to do what he has learned from someone somewhere, it says he gives generously to those in need. What that would mean is, if you were to go way back in the KJV and you read this, it says he gave alms. Alms are 2.5% of your income. So anybody who is holding a little sign, I need food, we'll work for money, what are those things? That means 2.5% of your income went right out. And he gave generously. Not only did he give, he served, but he also prayed. Yet we're about to find all of those good works, that giving, that serving, that praying, still left him coming up short. And we know why. Because he still needs Jesus. It goes on to say this in verse 3 through 6. One day, about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius, let my people go. He calls them down. So this angel, so imagine you're praying. You've probably not read much about angels. Your whole life you've worshiped other gods, and all of a sudden an angel comes to you and says your name. Cornelius stared at him in fear. You know, we all could talk about seeing angels or angels coming along, but they aren't always going to be the nicest looking things out there, right? They're not going to be the things that you just have. Like, they're not going to be our little precious moments things that we all love. I enjoy those too, but every time someone encounters an angel, there's a little bit of fear in them because of the radiance in them. So it goes on to say this. Cornelius says, "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." My goodness. So, like, he's going by the sea, and he's got two Simons. He's got, I would get confused. I don't know which one's the tanner and which one's Simon Peter, but one of the Simons have to be here. Simon says, we're trying. I'm trying to get everybody in Jesus, you know. So look at this. To you and I, this doesn't mean much. But to a Jewish person, this blew their mind when we see this go. A Gentile's prayers were heard. Did it say that Cornelius brought a sacrifice? He brought a peace offering. He went to the altar. He brought an unblemished lamb, an unblemished goat, an unblemished dove. He brought a grain offering for his prayer to be heard. See, this would blow minds. Like, to you and I, it's not that big of a deal. We don't think about that. But of course, like, we've seen angels in the outfield. God hears your prayer. Like, God, if you're real, the angels need to win the pennant, right? Like, all of a sudden we know that. But to a Jewish person, how in the world is a Gentile's prayers heard? Specifically a Roman soldier. If I was trying to look for a devout person, I wouldn't look in the middle of the Roman barracks. Yet we see the gospel through Jesus Christ is an open invitation to all who have that kind of mustard seed faith. See, wherever we are right now, we always talk about this. I'll be honest, as we say this, and I want to make sure, especially in the world that we live in, it's not just what Cornelius is going to find out is what's true for all of us. It's not just about knowing Jesus. It's not just about trying to be a good person. It's about following his lead, following the way, following him step by step. And see, we don't talk about that last part a lot. We don't like that last part a lot. Because we celebrate salvation, and we should, absolutely. But so many times we treat that as the finish line, not the starting block, don't we? And so that's where Cornelius is. He's almost at the starting block, but he hadn't quite figured it out. But the issue that we have, especially right now, I would say is this. In this house, there is a seat for you. This is a place where all have a place. But we love you enough that we're going to share the truth of the gospel with you and share God's way with you, because that is the way to life. There is no one else. There isn't anything else. It's not a program to follow. It's not a box of check boxes. It's not anything. It's not giving alms. It's not serving a certain amount of times. It's not praying a certain amount of times. It's following Jesus step by step. Right now, the church is involved in controversy. The world sees the church as no different because it's arguing about someone's interpretation about whether this sex can be a pastor or whether these two people who are married can be a part of the church in what capacity. And I would say clearly, I'll just say this. If you want to know where we stand, what does the Bible say about it? That's what we're doing. Any questions? Pin drop. Because that's the truth. You know why? Because if you go by what I say and not the Bible, I'm not leading you to the Lord. And I've got to give an account for that. That does not mean that those people can't come into this church. It does not mean that those souls searching can't be a part of this house. But we'll love them enough to share the truth. Now, whether they heed it or not, it's not my problem either. And it's not yours. I don't want to go to heaven because I didn't try to share the truth of the gospel with somebody because I was worried that I was going to offend them. We can't be afraid, church. This is the time we're made for. And I know that that sounds hard because we want to keep the peace, but you know what? Jesus didn't come to keep peace. He came to make peace. And that's how we have to live. Now that we're in, now that everybody's in and can go get refreshments, verse 7 through 8 goes on with Cornelius' story. I promise we only got 7 hours left. It's going to be a really good time. We got this. This is a good one. If we did, Jesus would be over it. It's all right. You can fall off a roof. Ask Paul about preaching. Anyway, tough crowd. When the angels who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. Remember that. He's got two servants and a soldier that he is sending somewhere. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. So now two servants and a soldier are going to go find Peter. Now Joppa is about 30 miles away from where Cornelius is, okay? And as he goes, let me ask you something as I say this, because I wish it was true for me, but Cornelius is modeling faith better than I could, and he's still searching fully for Jesus. Did it say Cornelius hesitated? Did he call a conference and have a vote before he sent the two out with a soldier? Did he say, let me think about it? Let me go dress up and let me go shine my shoes and my Roman soldier outfit before I send you. Let me get some gold for you to bring with you. Let me make sure that you look the best you possibly can. No, immediately he sends the two soldiers and a servant. I wish I could say immediately I trusted Jesus in my walk and everything that I did. Now, I'll make this clear. We say this for sure. Delayed obedience is disobedience, but God is so faithful, he still lets you be a part of the blessing if you obediently follow him. I'm living proof of that. We're all living proof of that. And what do I mean by that? I mean, I have found in my life, when I immediately trust Jesus, I get to be a part of a bigger blessing. And what do I mean by a bigger blessing? Because I don't have the stress, the worry, the anxiety. More importantly, I'm not wasting my time fighting him to take that step. And instead, that energy that I was using to fight him, I get to be a part of what he's called me to do. See, for each and every one of us, I would hope and pray that I would always point you to Christ, but also that you would immediately follow him. Whatever next step he's telling you to take, do it. It'll be less stress. Parents, you do this with children all the time. Get your homework done first, and then you can play. Get your homework done first, and then you can play. Get your homework. And then, I don't have any homework. And about 8:30 tonight, the homework comes up. That's, yeah, I got 3 book reports due tomorrow. First thing in the morning, I need some help. We all did it. As parents, you know that we all did it. But wouldn't it just have been a lot easier if you just got your homework done first? Or you just, now, hey, let's go to adults. Same thing. Project. Adults, listen, it's not just students. Listen, adults do it too. You got a big project. You got a big meeting coming up. You got a big conference you got to get ready for. When do you get ready for that conference? On the plane ride there. You're absolutely right. That's what ends up happening. You say you don't. You try your best. It's what happens. How much stress is that? How much worry is that? The same as following Christ. And so, in other words, when we're trying to rip that control away from him is when it's hard, when it's stressful, when the anxiety is full, is when we doubt ourselves. Satan uses that to divide us from him. So let's go on. Verse 11 through 16 is where we're going to go. So what ends up happening is, remember, Joppa is where? It's a place by the what? The sea. Not under the sea. It's by the sea. So what ends up happening, though, is Peter goes up on the roof. Up on the roof. You know, when this old world starts a-getting. No, y'all don't know that song? That's terrible. He goes up on the roof. Dinner's cooking downstairs, and he prays. And while he's praying, God speaks to him. And that's where we're going to pick up in verse 11. God's about to do something with Peter to help him understand why Jesus is here and what Jesus has done for us. It says this. He, speaking of Peter, saw heaven open up and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. Really quick, we'll go on to verse 15 and 16. We're going to leave that up and talk about this. So think about this. God spreads out his picnic blanket. Peter sees everything. There's alligators on there. He said, "Shoot them, Jacob." Like there was alligators. You know, somebody. There were alligators. There were 4 foot. You know, he saw pigs in a blanket on that thing for the first time because they can't eat it. Like, he's like, "What in the world? No, Lord, I'm not going to take that. You know I can't take that." Like, all of a sudden, this picnic has everything out. But look at Peter's response. Verse 13, it says, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Verse 14, "Surely not, Lord." I wonder if Peter goes back to Matthew 16 when Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" And he says, "You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah that is to come." And Jesus gives him a little praise and says, "Peter, that wasn't from you. That was from the Spirit. And that is the absolute truth. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And just a few verses later, in verse 20, Jesus is saying, "Hey, but in order for this to happen, I'm going to be handed over into the hands of an enemy, and they're going to kill me, and I got to rise again." And Peter says, "No, not you." He rebukes Jesus, says, "No, not you." And what does Jesus say in 22? "Get behind me, Satan." Peter's here. He said, "Listen, I know I messed up." He's probably going back to the Last Supper when he said, "Hey, everybody else is going to desert you, Jesus. I'll die with you. I'm not going to desert you." And Jesus is like, "Dude, you're going to fall asleep in the garden, and a rooster's going to crow, and you're going to already deny me 3 times. He says, "I'm not going to get caught that way again. So no, I'm not going to mess myself up. I'm not going to do anything that's going to make me unclean. I'm going to do everything I can at all costs to fight this stumbling block that I was in Matthew 16. So no, even though you're telling me go and eat, I'm not going to eat." Verse 15 and 16. The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Do you not think that he knew Peter's thoughts right here? "This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven." Like the Krispy Kreme hot and now sign was up, and Peter said, "No, no, no. Yeah. And so the Lord just pulled it up, said, "All right, it's going to make sense in a minute, Peter." 3 times. Do you think Peter went to that shore in John 21? Do you think he did that when Jesus restores him with those broiled fish on that shore? 3 times Peter said no. 3 times God said, "Take and eat." So while Peter's still grappling with this, he's trying to figure out what it all means. Like, "Dude, well, I don't understand what's happening. Can I get a boar's head sub or not? Like, I don't understand what, Lord, it just doesn't make sense to me." All of a sudden he hears a knock downstairs. Now there were 3 people. There were 2 what, church, that Cornelius sent? 2 what? Servants. They all scream servants. You should hear it. I mean, thousands of people yell servants. And 1 what? Soldier. Now, what you going to do when a soldier knocks on your door with 2 people? "We're here to collect for the census." "But it's not a census year." "Yeah, it's not a census year." Imagine what Peter's grappling with. Yet, they explain they're coming from Cornelius, and these Gentiles he invites into his house. And that's where we're going to pick up in verse 24. The following day, that being Peter, arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and I love this. He called together his relatives and close friends. The last time Peter probably saw a Roman soldier with a Jew, it was Jesus going to be beaten and mocked before he went to the cross. We're about to see what Peter was grappling with, but think about that. The very people that went to crucify the Lord, now one of them standing there. And I mean, what if they're in formation? The two servants are beside him and the Roman soldiers behind him. Like, aren't you like the whole time just checking your six? Like, you're trying to make sure like something's going on. Keep that javelin to yourself, dude. Like, I don't know what's happening. Like, you're trying to figure out what's happening. But instead of fighting it, Peter was like, all right, Lord, let me see what you got going on. And he goes to Cornelius and he rolls up in his house, and Cornelius is having a homecoming dinner. All his family, all his friends. It is a packed house. As many people as possible can get in there. But let me start right here to say, as Peter is unpacking this here in verse 27 in a moment, would a Jew want to be in the presence of a Gentile? No. It makes sense to Peter. Yet he boldly goes. Now, how we can make sense of this is, you remember the Good Samaritan, what in Luke 10, what happens? There's a priest and a Levite that passed by, right? And when the man's on the way from Jerusalem to Jericho, right, he passes by. Yet the Good Samaritan helps him. But now Peter's got to work out something. He's got to figure out what to do. But just like Cornelius, when God said go, he just invited the men in for the night. Let's be honest. He had dinner ready. You know, he was ready to go. I mean, let's go in the morning. But it was immediately. Just like Cornelius, he immediately goes and steps into service. Let's see what Peter says in verse 27 to 29. It's going to start out describing what happens with Cornelius, and I love this. Verse 27, while talking with him, Peter went inside, and look, he found a large gathering of people. Now, to understand the setup of probably what Peter walked through, he is in the Roman barracks, likely, and the place where all these people are gathered is in the living quarters of it, okay? Now, if you're building a fort, do you want the living quarters at the very front? Just think when we did that. Do you want that? You want it probably at the very back. So Peter has to go all the way through the barracks to the back. So think about that. A Roman soldier and two servants. I mean, it's dead man walking, right? He's walking the green mile, if you will. Like, he's probably thinking all of these things, and he's wrestling with this, but he's trusting the Lord. And he gets there and he finds a house that's so packed you can barely get in. It's a large gathering. But this is what we're going to find out about this gathering. They're all leaning in. I don't think there were probably, outside of the Holy Spirit falling in Acts, earlier in Acts, I don't think there was ever a more attentive crowd that have ever listened to the gospel. Because these people, Jesus has just been resurrected, Peter goes in, they're all trying to figure out, like, Cornelius has promised them something to show up. Like, there's something you're searching for. I mean, he's singing YouTube, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Like, there's something you're searching for, and this guy may be able to help you find it. And his name's Peter. So come to my house. This is the only way. This is a one-time only event. You got to show up to know what's happening. And all of these people come and lean in. And if I'm honest, I've had this in my life. I've shared before. I'm getting older. It's okay. Thank you, Jesus. It's been almost 9 years now. I was on a mission trip in New York City and was working with this missionary, Alex Hanvey. We were there. Alex and Brittany, we were all there. And he was trying to reach an unreached people group, okay? So understand, they didn't have the Bible in their language. They had the Gospel of John. That's it. We spoke on this Thursday afterwards about how we take information for granted that we have so readily available. And so as God does what God does, on the very last day of the trip, before we're about to come home, you know, we're discouraged. We can't find a person that can translate. We find a tribal elder. We give him the Gospel of John. And there were two people standing beside him. I vividly remember it was in a cell phone shop. I mean, it was out of nowhere. I'll put it to you this way. Alex forgot his glasses in the shop, and we were just sure those glasses were going to be stolen. We said, let's just go back and see what happens. And sitting right where his glasses were was that tribal elder. You think God don't use little things in little moments. And I want you to know, when that man picked up that Bible, that Gospel of John, he couldn't put it down. He couldn't put it down. The people beside him were trying to keep up and read it with him. I mean, he was so into the word that he had never seen the gospel that way. And it's challenged me, and this is what I'm trying to say about this crowd. Every quiet time I have with the Lord, that's how I want to go in it. So hungry, understanding that that is the only daily bread that matters. That if I'm that hungry, God will show up, God will move. And church, we are hungry, but guess what? All you and I are peasants. We're poverty driven. Do you know the difference between us and a world that doesn't know Jesus? We know where to find bread. We get to bring them to the bread that is Jesus. And so that's what this crowd is trying to figure out. And Cornelius says, hey, I want you to know about God. I don't want it to just be about me. In verse 28 and 29, Peter explains what he went through to get there. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I shall not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius is about to explain why he sent for him, but look at Peter just being honest. He said, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even want to show up today. I was tired. I just made me some macaroni and cheese downstairs. These dudes knocked up on my door. The Lord gives me a vision. I saw a good ham sandwich up there, and I didn't know if it'd call it clean or not. I didn't want to come here because I'm not supposed to associate with you. But it clicks. It clicks. Did anything stop Jesus from associating with anyone? Did Jesus agree with every lifestyle that he associated with? It didn't stop him. Did a label that society put upon someone stop him? No. Did religion stop him? No. He came to give us a relationship. And so this is finally starting to click with Peter, like he's about to explain to them the gospel, but we have to see this is why this moment comes, because he says, I should not call anyone impure or unclean. Is Peter a cannibal? That was food that he saw. But it's clicked. It translates to people that he sees. And he's about to share the gospel. It's making sense. He's like, okay, now I understand what you sent me here for, Lord. I know what I have to do. He's going to start unpacking things for Cornelius and the crowd, but I want to talk about Peter one more time for a moment. I bet he's thinking about all those times he wasn't called impure, but was called unclean. He went to rabbi school. He memorized the Torah, but he couldn't do anything other than that. So he had to go learn a trade. So he went out to work in the family business, cast out nets, catch fish. Now, it's not the worst trade. It ain't a lowly shepherd, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost one tick ahead, all right? I'm not as quite as bad as those guys over there. But at the same time, all the rejection he had until this man comes up on the seashore and says, hey, I'm not going to have you cast out a net for fish anymore. Come follow me so I can make you a fisher of man. Has that rejection. And he's looking at Cornelius and he sees himself there. Now Cornelius is about to have a choice. He explains to him the angel and the vision, and that's why he sent for Peter. In verse 34 through 36, shares what Peter says with him. And it says this. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Time out. What does that mean? The covenant with Abraham was for the Jewish people only, not for Gentiles. It pointed to Christ coming. Now it is available to everyone. Verse 35, this is why it's important. But accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. In other words, the one who has faith to him, listens to him, and does what he says. You know, the message God sent to the people of Israel announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Peter goes straight into the gospel. He's saying, hey, this isn't just a message of reconciliation anymore for just Jewish people. This is a reconciliation for all people. This is what everything, the great mystery that Paul talks about. Now it means that all people through faith in Christ can have hope. All people through faith in Christ are no longer outcast. All people in faith through Christ have a family. He goes on to say in verse 42 to 43, the gospel pure right here. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he, that being Jesus, is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Gospel. He's saying, Cornelius, it ain't your giving. It ain't your praying. It ain't your trying to be a good person that will save you. It's faith. Faith to Christ. Faith in Christ. And Peter goes on and he says, hey, we are witnesses of his resurrection. And how Acts 10 ends is so awesome. That entire household is saved. How do we know that? The Holy Spirit came upon them. It's the first time that you see the Holy Spirit falling and pouring upon Gentiles. Well, the only way that you and I can have the Holy Spirit is if we have faith in Christ and Christ alone, right? So Peter says, hey, while we're all here, let's get baptized. Go throw some water in the kiddie pool out there and let's go see what happens. The entire household gets baptized that night as well. How awesome is that? I mean, that's amazing. That would be like us right now being so full. We're like, shoot, we got a pool. Let's go. Let's get on out. Top of the slide you go. Come on down. Why is this important? Before Cornelius comes and sends his men, Peter would have never tried to interact with Gentiles because it would have made him unclean. Even though he knew Jesus, he would have continued to neglect them. Now, we know that God tells Paul that he is the mouthpiece. He is his servant to the Gentiles. And Peter and Paul have a little bit of a clash. Mary's not involved with it, but they sang some songs before that happened. Peter and Paul clash a little bit about this later. And Peter realizes that God utilizes him more to speak to the Jews than Paul to the Gentiles. But it shows that Peter never neglected that. But also, more importantly, Peter stays with them a few days at the end of Acts 10. Something he would have never done. He got to stay with them, and I bet he ate something, right? He was like, get that pulled pork down. I got to get a sandwich. Come on, pass it on down. Like, for the first time in his life, he got to tear it up. And he realized how important it was to share with everyone. What are we even sharing this for today? Well, Ephesians 2:10 always reminds us that we are made for God's handiwork, we are God's handiwork made for the works that he did beforehand for us. Before the foundations of the earth, he created us to do his work. But you see, oftentimes God calls us to one step of obedience, and it doesn't make sense, and we don't know what he's teaching us until the opportunity arrives and we step into it. Peter didn't understand what that blanket was. He didn't understand what that food was in the beginning. He was grappling with it when Cornelius' men knock on the doors. But when he was in the moment in Cornelius' house, he was like, it makes sense. It makes sense what you're teaching me, Lord. And instead of keeping it to himself, he shared it. See, that's the truth for all of us. Cornelius and that entire household was trying to figure out what was going to save them. And Peter just said, hey, let me be honest with you. I wasn't even going to talk to you fools. I don't like you. I don't like the way you dress. I don't like what you do. I don't like how you smell, all right? I just don't like you. But God told me that I'm supposed to love everyone. What did Jesus say the best two commands are? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're called to do, church. And we don't do it on all occasions. I don't do it on all occasions. You know, I rolled in. I can't tear that up, but I saw that hot and now sign on. What you mean they ain't hot no more? Come on, Krispy Kreme. Get with it. Most important thing, though, honestly, as I'm joking, let's be honest. What we get to share with people is God knows your name, God knows your heart, and God knows your purpose. But really quick, who are you in the story? Are you Peter before Cornelius' men come? There's somebody you've been trying to share the hope of the gospel with. There's somebody that they seem unreachable. And you've just given up. Today is the day. If you'll trust the Lord, he's willing to work through you if you'll trust him with it. You say, well, I don't have all this, I don't memorize scripture, I don't have the best story, I can't talk about a ton of what Jesus has done in my life. I can say that he's my savior. I mean, I can talk about that, but I don't have these crazy prayers where I prayed for like four tires to appear on a car and it did. Like I don't have those things. And I would say, just share what Jesus has done for you, and that's enough. And then bring them back next week for Father's Day. Bring them in God's house, because there's somebody in this house that he's going to connect them with. There's somebody in this house that they're just going to come and they're going to be like, man, I was having a bad day, and then all of a sudden you showed up, and I don't know, we connect. We've got a story that we can connect with. Maybe you're like Peter after Cornelius. Right now I'm sharing this with you, and maybe it's not a blanket that the Lord passed down. There's something that he's taught you, and there's a name on your heart that maybe you had given up on, and he's pressing into you to say, see, this is why I taught you that. This is why I made you go through that tough season. This is why you went through that pain. It has purpose at this moment in time. Would you trust me to use it? Maybe today you're Cornelius. You know of the mercy and grace of the Lord. I mean, we grew up here in the Bible Belt in the South. Like, we've heard of Jesus Christ. That's not anything new. We've heard of prayer. We've done everything we can to be a good person. But there's still just something missing. Everything you do doesn't seem to add up. You get a new degree and you have no peace. You get a new job and you have no peace. You get a new house, you have no peace. You get a new kid and you have no peace. I won't talk about how that got there. But you got a new kid. Like, you've got a new career. You've gone and done these things. And it's an endless ladder of searching and searching to be good, but it never fills you. One thing you're missing is Jesus. Or maybe today you're listening online and you're the outcast, the large crowd. You feel forgotten, you feel lost, and you feel lonely. And I want to tell you today, each and every person in this house that knows Jesus as Savior has been there too. Because all of us are born into that large crowd, searching, trying to fill this void that only Christ can fill. We will do anything in this world to fill it. We'll do anything in this world to have peace, anything in this world to numb it. And just like we said earlier, there comes a moment where you realize, as YouTube sings, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. This world's not going to give you what you're looking for. Only in Christ and Christ alone and faith in him can you find what you're looking for. See, we were all born in that large crowd because here's the thing. We were all born divided from God because of sin. And we've done everything we can to break through the wall like the Kool-Aid man. That didn't work. I just got some broke bones. I tried to climb over it and it didn't work. I tried to walk past it six times and was hoping on the seventh time it would fall like Jericho. I prayed to it and I stuck my little notes in there to prayer. Hello. And they didn't get answered. That'll come to you in a minute. But I did everything I could to break through that wall because I know on the other side of that wall is what I'm looking for. All right, I just got to get one more brick. I just got to get one more tool. I just got to earn one more thing and I can bust through that wall. And church, we know none of us can bust through that wall of sin on our own. But Jesus came to break down that barrier, break down that division for us, to have relationship with the Creator God, the division that sin itself has brought upon us. And so today, maybe you're listening. I want you to know Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He is the only thing that has broke the barrier. We shared this earlier, but it is the truth. Society didn't stop Jesus from reaching out to everyone. Society didn't. Labels didn't stop Jesus from sharing hope. Meeting people in the middle of a well, meeting people in the moment they were supposed to be stoned for a sin, meeting them right where they were, having shriveled hand, leprosy. It did not stop Jesus. But most importantly, our sin didn't stop Jesus from breaking the barrier that it created, even to the point where he died for us and rose again on the third day so that we can have life. The perfect sinless life he lived, the one we couldn't live, the one that we should be striving for as Cornelius did, will still not save us. But to break through that barrier, he had to be our eternal atoning sacrifice. You're never too far gone to save Jesus, be saved by Jesus. You're never too far gone to outrun his race. You're never too big of an outcast. You're never too far away for God's net to be cast to you, his net of love that is a hug, that is willing to bring you into his family. It just requires faith. Romans 10, 9 and 10 reminds us of this faith, and it says this for each and every one of us. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. It is not just the words, it's the faith. And what follows that is not just your words and faith changing, but the way you live your life changing. No longer do you chase the things of this world that don't satisfy. You realize that Christ and Christ alone. That's where Cornelius was. Peter shared the gospel. He received Christ as Lord and Savior by faith. So with every head bow and every eye closed, we're going to pray out loud as a family here together for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the first time. And it's not the words of this prayer just as we read, but the faith of this prayer, the faith of what we're saying. So with every head bow and every eye closed, please repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you. Step by step, the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if anyone in the house today, it's the first time that you've surrendered your life to Christ, whether you're in the house or watching online, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time. One, two, three. If that's you, would you raise your hand? If you're online, you can give us a raised hand emoji. You can shoot us a message. In just a moment, you're going to see a link online that says thevine.tv respond. If it doesn't, that's where you want to click into. We want to celebrate this decision with you because this isn't your finish line. This is the starting block to your eternity of being all Jesus created you to be, not chasing the things of this world, not eternally unsatisfied, not trying to find satisfaction in this world, but instead knowing that the fullness of your life is found in Christ alone. And for the rest of us, you can go ahead and look up. We're about to have this moment of worship as we get to go out into the world. Maybe there's some names that are on your heart the Lord's calling you to bring in. But most importantly, I want you to know what Jesus and the Lord is reminding you of today is, in spite of our tiredness, we all got the yawns, in spite of our lack of caffeine, in spite of the circumstances we're walking through, I want you to know right now as we stand up and worship, it's always been you. Think about that. What Jesus did has always been for you. And if that don't get us excited to go out and share that with someone else, then man, oh man, we need to get on our knees in prayer here in a moment. So would you please stand and worship with us, and let's give Jesus the honor, glory, and praise that he deserves.
promise you'll be there tomorrow. All this time your love was breaking through. It's always been you. It's always been you. It's always been you. It's always been you. The voice that calms the storm inside me. Castle walls that stand around me. All this time my guardian was you. You are the light that shines in every tunnel. There in the past, you'll be there tomorrow. All this time your love was breaking through. It's always been you.
Always been you. Isn't that worth it? That's what we get to share with the world. So I want to make sure as we wrap up today that hey, maybe next week somebody says they couldn't come to church with you on Sunday, but they can maybe go hang out with you on Saturday. Well, our friends at Hope Rising Ministries, Alex Hanvey and Brittany Hanvey, there will be a Hope Tour next Saturday. Vine Worship is going to be singing, I think, right?
Yes.
And dancing. I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's it. I'll be dancing in the back. Y'all can go ahead and hit me in the face. Just cast them out. But anyways, we'd love to see you at 12:45 on that service next Saturday. If you are, maybe you're not close to Spartanburg, they also have a service on Sunday there. I think it's around 10:45. We'll be having our Father's Day service here at 10 a.m., so we would love to see your face. It's going to be at LifeSpring Church next Saturday, 12:45 in Bowling Springs, South Kakalak. And next Sunday, we're going to gather back here at the YMCA at 10 a.m., celebrate our fathers and have an awesome, awesome week in the in-between. We love you as always. We love to see your smiling face here. Their smiling face is here. It might be a yawn and a smile, but it's smiling faces here. There's sugar. That's zero calorie. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be an awesome time. We can't wait to see you next week. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.